you will always have people selling doom. It's lucrative, it makes you sound serious, but they will be proved wrong.
Hi, I'm Nick Gillespie with Reason TV, and today we're talking with Ron Bailey. He's our longtime science correspondent, and he's got a fantastic new book out called The End of Doom. Ron, thanks for talking to us.
Delighted to be with you.
What news are you bringing in The End of Doom?
Well, I think three major points. One is that world population is going to peak in this century and begin declining around the middle of the century and be probably back to the levels it was at the beginning, around 2000. Second is we're at the downside of a supercycle in commodity prices. During the last decade or so, everybody saw commodity prices going up, oil, for example, metals and food, and now they're beginning to decline. They peaked probably 5 years ago, and they're now down about 50% from their highs. And third, climate change is going to be a problem, but we will have the technologies to handle it.
Is it a good thing that population goes down? I mean, obviously, there's always been scaremongers saying, oh, we're going to be teeming with people, a Soylent Green situation. But a lot of people now are saying, no, the real problem is when we don't have enough people. Look at Japan. Look at countries that are depopulated.
Well, actually, my goal is to have people have as many children as they want to have. And if population goes down as a result of that, which it will likely do, given the choices that people make when they get richer and women become educated, that's what's going to happen. I think that we'll also be able to handle a lot of the problems of aging.
So commodities are going down. What is driving the decrease in commodity prices, whether it's food or oil or whatever?
Well, what happens is it's a super cycle. What happens is as prices go up, then people get the incentive to develop new technologies to make substitutions for the things that are going up. Also, they go and find new sources for it. So in the case of food, what happened is farmers intensified. They didn't really expand that much the land they're growing food on, but they intensified the amount of food they got out of the land that they have, so prices are now going down. And similarly happened with oil is that people, as the price began to go up, people started using less, but also then there was more exploration and fracking was invented. And fracking has dramatically increased
oil
production.
Or not invented, but just it went mainstream.
Well, mainstream,
right.
It became cost effective.
Right. And now climate change is real, it's happening, but you say it will be manageable. Is that also based on technology?
Yes, but first let's deal with climate change. My analysis, and I've been covering this for a very long time, I changed my mind about it about 10 years ago, is that the balance of the evidence suggests that climate change could become a significant problem by the end of the century. Not definitely, but it could be. Therefore, I think we should have some insurance policy kind of attitude toward it. And one of the things that we're doing is developing technologies that will be able to reduce the amount of fossil fuels we burn to produce energy, which will decrease the amount of greenhouse gases in the atmosphere.
But that's kind of down the road, right? Because we already have enough. Even if we stopped all greenhouse gas production now, there's still momentum. So
There is going to be some warming, but if it's below 2 degrees centigrade, which is like it's likely to be, I would argue, it won't be a significant problem.
But then there's the question of how do you deal with the actual. So how do you deal with climate change? It's not simply by shutting it down by not using greenhouse gases, but how do you deal with kind of variation?
Well, there's a whole bunch of different things. First, you want to reduce the amount of greenhouse gases ultimately that end up in the atmosphere. And we're going to have wonderful technologies, some fabulous new nuclear reactor designs are coming along. And I think that those will become much more popular than people think right now. Also, the price of solar power is declining. And if the rate continues as it is, in less than 10 years, it'll be cheaper than natural gas to produce electricity using solar power. But the other thing on adaptation, if I may, is that, of course, there's already baked into the cake that we're going to get warmer. Sea level will rise a little bit more and so forth. So what we'll have to do is as humans have always done, adapt to it. And we'll have air conditioning for our homes, different crops will be planted in different areas, that kind of thing. But human beings will have a century to adapt to this kind of thing.
Talk about the decline in the cost of solar power. Where did that come from?
That's an interesting question. There's something called Swanson's Law, and it's kind of like Moore's Law, but it's slightly different. Swanson's Law basically says every time you double the capacity of producing solar panels, the price goes down 20%. What happened is that the Germans decided that they were going to subsidize into existence a huge solar energy production system, and they did do that, and the Chinese said, fine, we will now supply the solar panels to you. So basically, the German taxpayers and the Chinese businessmen have created an ecosystem, an industrial ecosystem, that is dramatically lowering the price of solar power, probably over what it would otherwise be.
Wow. You know, your book, your work in general is always highly optimistic. I mean, it's technically rigorous and it's serious, but it's optimistic. And the topics that you cover normally are like, you know, the last or the strongest redoubt of fearmongers and hysterics about the end of the world is already underway. How do you sell an optimistic vision of a technologically innovative and kind of kind to humans future?
Let me start out with a different story about that. Is I had another book earlier on environmental issues called EcoScam that came out in the early 90s. And my editor at the time said, when we were signing the contract, "Ron, I just want to tell you we're going to make some money off of this book, but if you had brought me a book that said the world was coming to an end, I could have made you a rich man." Mm. Doom sells, as you've noted, but I think that optimism can also sell in the sense that people will eventually, as I did, will wake up and look around and see that the world is a lot better than the prognosticators pretended it was going to be. You will always have people selling doom. It's lucrative, it makes you sound serious, but they will be proved wrong.
Well, and hopefully your editor will be proved wrong, and the end of doom will change a lot of people's minds and make you a rich man, finally.
You can come to my Caribbean house.
Oh, well, we'll make a date for that. So I want to thank you. We've been talking with Ron Bailey. He's the author of The End of Doom, a positive look at how the future is going to be pretty damn great. Ron, thanks for talking to us.
Thank you for having me.
For Reason TV, I'm Nick Gillespie.